I want to speak upon a subject that is somewhat obscure today, and yet it's a subject that's found in this chapter. Now, this chapter contains valuable teaching concerning worship, the act of worship when God's people come together, and also the observance of the Lord's Supper, the ordinance of the Lord's Supper. Valuable instruction Paul imparts in this chapter. But these are not the focus for meditation. I want you to look at verse number 2 of this chapter and take the first part of it, in which Paul says, "Now I praise you. Now I praise you." And then come down to verse number 17, and he says, "Now in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not. I praise you, and I praise you not." And the theme that comes to our attention in these two verses is the theme of praising others. The theme of praising others. The Apostle Paul did not live life upon the fluctuating waves of emotion. What he did, what he said, what he wrote were guided by his faith and his understanding of revealed truth. And therefore, when he writes, "I praise you," he was exemplifying what is often the neglected duty of praising others. And it's that thought, it's that theme that I want us to consider today, to focus in upon what Paul says here. Because not only is it a focus upon what he says, it's really a focus upon Paul himself. And that in itself is very instructive. He highlights the often neglected duty of praising others. And I use the word duty intentionally, because that highlights the first aspect that I think comes to the surface here. Praise is a duty. The ultimate duty of praise is to God himself. We are commanded in Scripture. We are exhorted repeatedly in Scripture to praise the Lord. If you think of the book of Psalms, and you read through the book of Psalms, you will find continual exhortation to praise the Lord, to magnify the Lord, to exalt the Lord. The last verse of the Psalter says, "Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord." It is a duty that is placed upon all creatures, great and small, which God has made. We are to praise the Lord. The praise of God is the inclination of a regenerated and a redeemed heart. Think of the psalmist in Psalm 40, when he likens his salvation to the lifting up out of a horrible pit, being placed on a solid rock, and he says, "Thou hast put a new song in my mouth, even praise to our God." It is the inclination of a heart that has been regenerated, made new, and redeemed by the Savior's blood. It is the very heart of man's existence. The reason why God created us was that we might glorify him. And God says in the book of Psalms, Psalm number 50 and verse 23, "Whoso offereth praise glorifieth me." And that praise, not only the inclination of a redeemed heart, not only the heart of man's existence, but it will be the very atmosphere of the heavenly Jerusalem. Read the book of the Revelation, and you will find that wonderful glimpse to the heavenly city, to the Father's house, And what is it characterized by? It is characterized by the song of praise, the voice of praise. Praise the Lord is the great command that echoes through the courts of heaven. The very atmosphere of heaven will be an atmosphere of unending, eternal praise when holy angels and the spirits of just men made perfect, redeemed by precious blood, will blend their voices together in the unending praise of their great God, their great Creator, world without end. But what is this praise? Praise is the recognition, it is the commendation of character and nature, the expressed approval of conduct. When we praise God, we are acknowledging who God is. We are acknowledging what God is. That's what praise is. But Paul's example in this passage is not primarily regarding our duty to praise God, the ultimate duty of praise. His example here is that of praising others, praising people. And he says in verse number 2, I praise you, brethren. Now that's something that is neglected. And sometimes it's frowned upon. Something that should be dismissed. But you'll notice it's exemplified here by the Apostle Paul, and his example is a great teacher. Look at what he says in verse 1 of this chapter. He says, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. And what he means there in that statement is this. He says, follow my example when my example conforms to Christ. And right away, he says, now I praise you. And when you link those two verses together, what that says is this duty of praising that is exemplified by Paul is something that he found and saw in his Lord and Master whom he served. And if you go through the Gospels when the Lord was upon this earth, you will find him many times praising people. In fact, I would go as far to say the Lord loved to praise people. Think of his disciples and how many times their thinking erred. How many times they got it wrong. And yet, when they grasped some little glimmer of truth, the Lord was so eager to praise them. Think of Simon Peter. When the Lord asked him, who do ye say that I, the Son of Man, am? And Simon replied, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And immediately Jesus said, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah. He was praising him, even though Peter got it wrong on so many occasions. Think of Mary, and she came with her alabaster box and anointed the Lord. And she was criticized by some of the disciples, but immediately the Lord steps in to not only defend her, but to praise her. Let her alone, he said. Against the day of my burying has she kept this. You can read the seven letters to the churches of Asia Minor. And every one of them, the Lord begins by praising what was good among those churches. And at the last day, that great day of judgment, when finally all the redeemed of the Lord will be gathered together and brought home, the Lord will praise that service that has been rendered to him. And he will say, well done, good and faithful servant. I'm only giving a few examples today, but I think they serve to highlight the fact that the Lord praises people. and did so when he was upon this earth. He commended their character when it was good, and he expressed the approval of their conduct when it conformed to his image. And therefore what I'm saying is, Paul, when he writes, I praise you, in his example, was reflecting the very image of the Lord Jesus. The image of Christ. And the reason why Paul sought to praise others was because he recognized that that praise ultimately glorifies God. Whenever and wherever we accredit good, we accredit God. You think of the light and the heat and all vital energy comes from the sun. And when we acknowledge the light, we're acknowledging the sun. When we acknowledge heat, we're acknowledging the sun. The same is true of God. James said in James chapter 1 and verse 7 that every good and perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights. Wherever you find what is essentially good in itself, the source of that is God Himself. Those gifts that benefit us, they come from the Lord. And many times the Lord deposits those gifts in other human beings. They come from the Lord. The apostle on this occasion was praising the Corinthians for their action, for what they did. And he did so because he recognized the source of that was the Lord Himself. I praise you, brethren, that ye remember me in all things and keep the ordinances as I delivered them to me. What was it that had given these Corinthians the desire to support the gospel ministry that Paul was engaged in? What was it that caused the Corinthians to observe what was written in the scriptures? It was the grace of God. It was the goodness of the Lord. And therefore, when he praises them on this occasion for what they did, he was ultimately glorifying the Lord. He was recognizing that what was good in them found its origin, its fountainhead in God Himself. But is it not true to say that this duty that Paul exemplifies, this example that he sets before us here of praising others, not only ultimately glorifies God, but it also encourages greater good? Every wise parent will know this. There's nothing that kindles the effort to obtain or to achieve good than when your children are praised. That praise has a stimulating effect. And the Apostle Paul realized this. When praising the Corinthians in this particular matter, he was seeking to encourage them to carry on in what was good and godly, and therefore ultimately God glorifying. This is a duty that he sets here before us by way of his example. But that leads me to a second thought, and it's this: the difficulty of praise, the difficulty of praising others. It's true to say that many a person cannot do what Paul did on this occasion. They cannot say to someone else, I praise you. It's very difficult. And one of the reasons why that is difficult is because the heart can become very self-centered. Our worst enemy is self. And for many people, self fills the whole of their horizon. That's all that they can see. Can't see beyond themselves. Self-absorbed. And the person that's self-absorbed cannot see what is good or what is beneficial in anyone else, let alone even praise them for it. A jealous nature cannot praise someone else. Very often jealousy is evident or characterized by its silence. Silence in relation to praising what is good in others, not in relation to speaking evil. Very often a jealous spirit is very quick to speak evil. But this becomes something that is very difficult. And you can see it in society. It's a neglected duty. Neglected practice in society. You look out over society today, especially today, and what do you see? You see negativity. You see nastiness. You look at social media, and social media has become a medium which is used for people to vent their anger, their frustration, their annoyance, and they will highlight everything that is evil, but rarely highlight what is good. It's really a plague in our society. And I think if you listen to the Queen's speech on Christmas Day, I think she said something that was very important. She mentioned Christ's message of goodwill, which is needed all the more today, now than ever. And that is true, very true. Seems as if in society it's just free license to just tear shreds of everybody else. And this duty of acknowledging what is good, what comes from God, is very absent, neglected. But very often it can be neglected within the home, within the home setting, where there is this failure to praise what is good, what is of God in others. And also within the church. Paul is setting here an example, I believe, that when neglected actually leads to great harm. But when it is practiced carefully, enhances the church, advances the cause of grace and the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a duty, but it is a very difficult duty in many instances. But that leads us to one final thought, and it is the discernment that Paul manifests on this occasion concerning praising others. Because praise requires discernment. It requires discernment. Paul's praise of the Corinthians was both sincere and measured. It did not exclude faithfulness. It was not flattery. Always remember, there is a difference between flattery and praise. Flattery is false. It is insincere praise. Somebody described it as poisoned honey. A very good description. But praise is different. Praise is the commendation of character, the expressed approval of conduct. But it needs to be handled and employed with discernment. Look at verse 17. The apostle, not long after saying, "I praise you," in verse 17 he says, "Now in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not, that ye come together not for the better, but for the worse." And he's addressing now a situation that had arisen within the Corinthian church, where they had embraced heresies and it had caused division. It had led actually to the diminishing of the sacraments, especially in relation to the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper had degenerated just to an ordinary feast, and its true meaning, its true purpose had been lost sight of. And there were many other things in the church at Corinth that were not right. And Paul says in verse 17, "In these matters I praise you not." That's very important. Praise in one matter did not commend the general, or did not consist of the general approval of all that they did. Some people say, "Ah, well, I better not praise that person for what they've said or what they've done, because I'll only be condoning the other things that I don't agree with." The church at Corinth had many faults. It had many problems. And Paul did not seek to ignore those matters. He did not seek to brush them under the carpet and just give them praise that would make him popular in their sight. No, Paul was discerning. Paul recognized when those matters were not right. He says, "I do not praise you in these matters." But when there was something that was good, he did not say, "I will brush that under the carpet because of all the other things that are wrong." His praise was discerning. Where there was something amiss, he addressed it. He did not commend them. He did not praise them. But where there was something that was good, he did praise them. And the commendation of that which was good was not, or could not be taken as condoning what was wrong. This was exercised with discernment. And that is something very important. You see, what a person praises will reveal themselves, reveal what their true character is. Turn to the book of Proverbs, chapter 28. The book of Proverbs, chapter 28. And the verse number 4. The book of Proverbs, chapter 28, and verse number 4. "They that forsake the law praise the wicked." And what a person praises in someone else will reveal, will discern what they themselves are. So when someone is praising the wicked actions, the ungodly actions, it's only revealing what they themselves are. So Paul did not praise in the Corinthians what was amiss, what was wrong. He praised what was good, what was wholesome, what was in conformity to God's law, what was in conformity to Christ. But he did not condone, nor did he bypass what was amiss. There's a consistency in Paul. There is a faithfulness in the apostle. But praise also reveals the character of the person who receives it. Look at chapter 27 of Proverbs, just across the column. Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 21. And it says, "As the fining pot for silver and the furnace for gold, so is a man to his praise." So is a man to his praise. And what Solomon means by that is, he brings us into the blacksmith's shop, and he shows us the furnace, and the gold, the silver is extracted from the earth, but it has impurity still within it. There are other metals, perhaps the rock still attached to it. And those impurities take away from the gold, and so it's put into the furnace, and the furnace sifts. The furnace refines, the furnace purifies, and it brings out the true gold, the true nature. And what Solomon means when he takes that comparison, when he takes that parallel and applies it to this duty of praising others, he says a person's character is revealed whenever they are praised. It's like the refining fire. It brings out what is truly there. And sometimes when people are praised, they get puffed up. Puffed up with pride and self-importance. And therefore praise only reveals, discerns what their true character is. But take Paul, for instance. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And there is no question that Paul stood high in the ranks of the apostles and the servants of Jesus Christ. He was blessed with tremendous revelations. He had a tremendous ministry. But look at what he says in verse 10. He refers to himself in verse 9 as the least of the apostles. And then he says in verse 10, "But by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all." You'll notice he doesn't deny the fact. Paul labored more abundantly than all of the disciples, all the other apostles. There was no one who worked harder. There was no one who served more fervently than Paul. He exhaled. Now he doesn't diminish that fact. That was a fact. But he's not puffed up with vain pride. Because he goes on to say, "Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me." And what Paul is doing here is to take all that was good and commendable in himself, which could not be denied, which was praised by others. You can think of what Peter said of Paul in his epistle. He praises Paul. And I'm sure there were many occasions when Paul was praised, but he takes all that was good and commendable in himself and he traces it back to the source. The source is the grace of God. Yes, he says, "I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me." And when you take what he says here in 1 Corinthians 15 and you bring it back to chapter 11, it reflects who Paul was, what he was. He did not neglect this duty of praising others, acknowledging in them what was good, what was beneficial. Even to him, the blessings that he had received from others, Paul acknowledged that and praised people. But he did so because he recognized that all that was good and commendable in others that had benefited him found its source ultimately in the Lord himself, in the grace of God. When he was praising others, he was praising God. He was acknowledging God. And therefore he sets this example before us. I praise you. I praise you. Reflecting the likeness, the example of Christ, and also conforming to the teaching of Scripture. Genesis 49 speaks of the sons of Jacob. And Jacob gathers all his sons on his deathbed, and he says to Judah, "Judah, thou art he whom thy brethren shall praise." You can think of Proverbs 31, where it talks about the virtuous woman. And it says, "The woman, a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised." It is not wrong to praise what is good and commendable in others. It is the example of Christ, and it is conformity to God's precious word. And it will seek to encourage effort that will lead to greater good, and therefore the greater glorifying of the Lord. May the Lord impress these thoughts upon our hearts, perhaps thoughts that we have not considered before. Perhaps we have not looked at it in this way before. But something that is there on the face of Scripture, on the surface of Scripture, in this example of the Apostle Paul. Let's close today by turning to 109.